few Goldilocks Bears podcast with Vincent Cloud
John Nemitz
and David Lauer.
and this is the show where we talk about loves, hates, indifferences, or you could say things we're torn up about inside and
That are
outside.
tearing us apart.
Yeah, Lisa. But before we do any of that, we talk about old fucking topics, man. Where we followed up in a segment we call Deja Vu. I have a Deja Vu. It's about the Rube Goldberg machine. And I'm so annoyed that I forgot this. This is used with deadly precision or whatever in the movie Final Destination. That's all Rube Goldberg shit, right? Where you're like, oh, there's some water leaking, and then you see the guy like trying to shave and you're like, oh, he's gonna slip and he's gonna cut himself or something, you know? It's always something like that. Great stuff. I'm so mad that I've completely forgot about it. That's what made those movies so good. You guys like those films?
I remember liking the first one when I saw it, and then forgetting it, and then forgetting that any others existed.
I liked them when, like, I didn't really care for them when they first came out. I just thought they were kind of hokey. But then I watched them, like, I don't know, probably like 6 or 7 years ago. And I really enjoyed them because I embraced, like, the corniness of it. And once I embraced the, like, cheesy factor about it, then I thought they were kind of fun.
Yeah, I still think about some of that shit. Like I said, in the bathroom, and like when she's in the kitchen and things are exploding and knives are falling on her and stuff. It's crazy. It's madness. But yeah, that was my deja vu. So let's get the show started, God damn it. Someone has to start. It's not I, someone else.
I can go. I love problem solving and troubleshooting. And it's good that I do because that's been my job with a lot of jobs that I've had. It's just so satisfying when you figure out what was wrong with something and you get it working and you fix it or and like I always like to try and improvise things too. Like, all right, I want to accomplish this goal and I don't want to let's say I'm working on something in the garage and I'm like, I know I have a thing in the house that would help me with this, but what can I use out that I have out here to solve the problem? Like just that kind of challenging yourself kind of stuff. A future topic, that I'll talk about, but I've been really into genealogy lately, and it's just trying to learn about these people that you've never met or who are never alive anymore, and just following the clues and getting to oh, I found another piece of information. And that's the same kind of thing I've had in my job where I'm troubleshooting some piece of software and all I have are the log files that a customer sent me, and I have to go through and find the log line that is relevant to the problem that they're having and all that stuff. I can easily get lost in it, and it's yeah, like I said, the biggest thing is just how satisfying it is when you actually figure it out and fix it.
So when disaster strikes, you're just like, oh yes.
Yeah. Let me at it.
All right. So I don't know. For some reason I thought of those firefighters, like sometimes they go bad and they create fires so they
Oh
could put them out. You're not like that, are you, John, where you create
yeah.
problems?
No, I would never do that.
Well, good. All I wanted to say was that I created these the EC challenges. Remember that, guys? You guys participated.
Yeah.
I hope you guys had fun and stuff, but for me it's always super stressful because things are always falling apart. People don't show, or people have to leave, or props get broke, or I'm running out of, I don't have a cameraman, so I got to do it all myself. And it's just problem solving constantly. And I'm kind of familiar with that, because they say like, oh, directing, making movies is constantly trying to problem solve, like, oh, we don't have the budget, the lighting's terrible or something, and I've made some videos before and stuff, so I kind of understand where you're getting at, where it's like, yeah, it's kind of fun to kind of like, okay, we'll get through this and stuff, keep a calm, cool head through it all, yeah, but it is fun, I suppose. I don't go running towards trouble to shoot it. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Dave?
Like I kind of agree. Like with computer stuff, I hate problem solving, troubleshooting. Anything with computers, like no, it's like I can do the basics, but other than that, I'm completely lost and there's not much I can do. But at least I know that I can't really do anything to solve anything, so I don't really try. But I have like recently tried to be like a little bit more handy around the house where like the washing machine stopped working and like I Googled like what the error code was and what the problem was and they're like it's the sh there's like four like long shock absorbers that are like basically like springs that hold like the tub and the washer from like banging against the sides. And then once they get worn out after, so many years. And I bought the parts online, like researching stuff, got them sent to my house. I was looking at them. I'm like, they're a little different than the ones on my washing machine. But I'm like, I don't want to spend, hundreds of dollars on a new washing machine. So I tore it all apart, put these new things in there, put it all back together. And it took me like 6 hours, which it should only take like an hour if you know what you're doing. But I put it together and it worked and I was like, oh my gosh. And this was like 2 years ago and it's my washing machine's worked ever since. So it's like I fixed it. So and I'm like, it was super rewarding. And I did something kind of similar with like my lawnmower stopped working. And I managed to take out the spark plug and like the spark plug was just dirty and like just carbon buildup all around it. So I sandpapered it off and put it back together and put a new air filter on there and then it fired right up and it worked. So it's like I can do like the little things now, which makes me feel like a little bit more confident to do a little bit more. And it also makes me feel a little bit more manly because I'm like, yeah, I fixed that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, I've definitely done like YouTube University to learn how to just do that kind of stuff. What I hate about like I'm much more comfortable with the computer side of things. What I hate about physical things is that like you can break something and then it's like broken forever. Like you shear the head off a bolt or something and you're like, oh, now I've got like this broken bolt here. What do I even do?
Yeah, I mean, car working on the car is it sucks. I mean, like, I don't do it a lot, but trying to twist your hand so you could reach this little part, this little piece with like just the tip of your fingers, and you're supposed to do something. It's horrible. When it comes to troubleshooting with my car, it's always just like, nah, I'm gonna bring it to someone who knows. This is not fun at all, and yeah, I don't want to be like, oh, my hands look like this, so my wife's ring could or hand could look like that. I don't have a wife, so but I don't know. Yeah, troubleshooting, problem solving. It is fun. Do you consider puzzles? Like, do you seek puzzles just so you could put that together?
Oh yeah, like I love like word puzzles and brain teasers and yeah, even like jigsaw puzzles and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Does a Rube Goldberg machine involve problem solving? The point is to create the problem, right? You want
Yeah.
it all to
I
collapse. So you
mean,
don't
certainly
like it.
building one would involve that because the you gotta figure out how to get that marble to go just down the right place,
All right, man. Well, we talked about this a little bit before. Just Googling stuff is so much nicer now. How-to videos on YouTube. Like, I watched some the other yesterday when I had to do my taxes. So I'm like, what the hell? I need help. So yeah, thank God it's there, and that was a problem solver for sure. Segue challenge. We got a problem. This topic is done, and we got to move forward. My solution is someone goes next.
right, I can go. I hate Jake Paul boxing matches. I wanted to say, word it that way because I didn't want to say that I hate a person, because I don't really hate Jake Paul. I think like he's just trying to make money and make a living, and that's fine. But I hate these type of boxing matches because I'm like a purist when it comes to sports. I like MMA. I'm okay with professional wrestling because like everyone knows that it's fake. But these Jake Paul boxing matches are kind of blurring the line between real and fake, and like nobody really knows, like there's no doubt that he's talented and he's very athletic and strong and he's a great boxer. But are the people he's going against, are they really giving it their all? Are they trying 100%, or are they just there for the payday and they don't want to make him look bad? So he's like lost to Tommy Fury by decision. But it was a close fight, and like his other matches against like old MMA fighters, he always wins. And now he's gonna fight Mike Tyson, like one of the greatest boxers of all time. But Mike Tyson is, I think, 56 or 57 years old.
Yeah.
And I don't care how much testosterone or steroids you put into Mike Tyson, he's still 56 or 57 years old. So he's going to be so slow compared to Jake Paul, who's going to be so much younger and faster and quicker. And it's like, and Mike Tyson already has like short arms, so like he doesn't have much of a reach. Like Jake Paul's just going to be running away from him. I don't know that Tyson's going to be able to land like a clean shot on him. Like if he does land a clean shot, he could win. But it's like, and once I'm like analyzing this fight in my head, then I'm like, but I'm pretty sure Mike Tyson has said in interviews that he never wants to box again. And the last time he took a match, he was only doing it for the money. So I can only assume that he's doing this one only for the money. So like, why do I even care? Like, am I gonna watch it? Yeah, because it's like a weird, sick, guilty pleasure. But I still hate Jake Paul's matches because I don't know, they're all like gimmick fights and it's not like a true sport. So I can't like it.
Yeah, I don't follow boxing and I didn't really know who Jake Paul was, but all I have heard in the past about these Jake Paul boxing matches, and I've really only heard negative things about them. Like it just seems like dumb and like just stagey, and yeah, it just the whole thing sounds really annoying.
Well, I thought so too until I put some money down on the and well, I didn't bet, but I bought the pay-per-view because my boy Nate Diaz was gonna box him, and I was like, oh man, if anyone could do it, it's Nate Diaz, man, motherfucker, like go in there and do your thing. But again, it's like Jake Paul, not only is he younger, he's like what, 27 maybe,
Yeah, I think 27.
27. And he's huge. He's a big guy, and Nate is not, he's 6 foot, but Jake Paul's like 6'2" or something like that, but like thicker. Nate was actually probably had to gain weight just to get up to that weight size, you know what I'm saying? And it just he was a good boxer, that Jake Paul, and Nate Diaz was almost knocked out. He was hit really hard in the first round, then he was knocked down in the third. And yeah, I believe in his skills, but it is weird that it's all old ex MMA fighters that he's fighting nowadays, I don't know. I always hated the like, oh, to a YouTuber. I'm like, hey man, I'm a YouTuber. What's the difference, man? But I don't know anything what Jake did before. Did he just like do pranks on people and shit? I don't know. It's to me though, it doesn't matter. He's actually boxing and he's decent. It's just, yes, he has to fight someone, an actual boxer, more his own age, and he lost. That was that Fury fight, right? Like brother of Tyson Fury or something, or
Yeah, I think his little
yeah.
brother. And like, and in the Nate Diaz fight, it seemed kind of real, but it was like, it also, that fight, like you said, Nate was getting beat up in the first like 3 rounds or 4 rounds, but it was almost like Nate was letting Jake get his stuff in and look good. Because if you look at the last 3 rounds of that fight, Nate just started pouring it on, and Nate was beating the shit out of Jake in those last 3 rounds of the fight. But like, it was like Nate didn't start trying until the last 3 rounds. And it was almost like he was saying, like, hey, I'm actually fine and I can do this, but the agreement was me to lose to by decision. Like, I don't know. That was kind of a vibe I got when I was watching it.
Right. And I've seen Nate Diaz fights where I'm like, that's sus. If you guys understand at all.
Because yeah, Nate is a kind of a similar in like MMA, he's kind of a prize fighter where he likes big fights, and wins and losses don't mean everything to Nate. He would rather just have a good fun fight against a big name. That means more to him. Like, that's why he had that BMF fight with Masvidal. That's why he did those Conor McGregor fights. Like, Nate's had a very long MMA career. Like, he wants like something that excites him.
Right. And okay, so yeah, if you were to attack Jake Paul as just as the person, I would have been like, yeah, but he literally is like saying, hey, MMA guys aren't getting paid shit. You guys come over here, box me, you will get a payday. And I don't think it's like I will pay you to throw it. I think it's just that that's the reality. Boxers get paid so much more than fucking MMA people. Like 300 just happened, and Dana's like, oh, we have bonuses, $300,000. And that, like, if anyone pays attention, that's nothing. That is nothing. That might cover your hospital visit, win or lose, you know? Fucking, oh my God, it's so annoying. But
Yeah, it was
yeah.
like Francis Ngannou just had a fight against, who was it, Anthony Joshua, I
Yeah.
think. Or yeah, and like Francis got knocked out like in the second round, and people are like, oh, Francis made a huge mistake. It was like he got knocked out for like $20 million. Like,
Yeah.
that's, I mean, who cares? Yeah, he was UFC champion, but he left and he did a couple of boxing matches and made a fortune that he wouldn't have made in the UFC. So now, if he wants, like, yeah, he can go back to MMA. Like, but it's like he probably made like 20 million for that one fight. Then his other fight that he had against Tyson Fury, I don't know if that was 15 or 20 million as well. Like,
Yeah.
it's crazy how much they make.
Yeah, Jake just has to box people his own age, but I don't know. Pick on someone your own age, that's what I say.
Yeah. I can't get super excited about his boxing matches because they all just, and like, especially Mike Tyson, like, he's retirement age and you know he just wants the money. So it's like, I don't know. It's a weird, like, freak show aspect of it.
Tyson's always been the smaller guy, though. If you watch his old fights, like he's always like he gets super low. Also, after that, he gets super low, and then he springs up with those hooks and shit and catches people on the chin somehow. You're just like, that's pretty fucking fast. So I don't know. I'll probably watch it too, Dave. It's gonna be on Netflix.
I will. I'm gonna watch it, but I'm gonna hate myself every minute.
Why not? So you consider Jake Paul like fast food? Like this isn't good for you.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, he's fine. Like, I have no problem with him. Like, he's a YouTube celebrity and he likes to box and he's making a living. Like, he doesn't seem like a terrible person, or at least not that I know of.
A
So.
regular Renaissance man, eh?
All right, segue.
Oh.
Let's fight our way out of the corner here and move on to another topic.
All right, I think I'm up here. Let's talk about, God damn it, let's talk about my hate mosquitoes. You know, I wrote this down. I thought of this as just like, hey, okay, now it's going to be warmer, but do you guys remember fucking mosquitoes and how a nuisance they are and shit? And I wrote that down, and then I had to go to work. And sure enough, there was mosquitoes at work. There were some in that thing, and it was like meh, like that. I'm like, ah, what the fuck? And it just they're annoying. They're itchy. You know, when they buzz in your ear, like that. I fucking hate that. It's like an insult to me. I get so pissed off when a mosquito buzzes in my ear. You know, sometimes they don't seem to care about, you know, contact because they want to drink your blood. You know, that's gross. You could swat at them, but they'll still like land. You never fucking feel it until it's too late. You know, we're lucky that we don't have to deal with all those goddamn diseases that they carry. Like, what is it, malaria or some shit, right?
And the West Nile virus.
Yeah, man. And apparently they kill 725,000 people a year compared to, I don't know, compared to anything else, but it seems like a lot.
Compared, that's even more than sharks.
That's way more than sharks, isn't it? Like five a year or something?
Yeah.
Holy
Never thought of
fuck.
it that way.
Yeah, and then okay, do we need them? Do we need mosquitoes? What do they do for us? You know what I mean? And some people are like, oh, well, the bats eat them. I'm, oh, no, that means the I don't know. It's like pandas and bamboo. You take away the bamboo, the pandas will die. But I like pandas is the difference. But like, how stupid is it that they're like, we only eat one thing? Getting carried away here. But what do you guys think about mosquitoes?
I've kind of gotten desensitized to them by going up to the Boundary Waters. Like, basically, at dusk, you just hear like this buzz as like they're all like grouping over the water, and then so everybody then knows like you start putting on like long sleeves, you put on like a net over your face, and then there's just like, hundreds of them just swarming around the campsite. Now getting bit once or twice when I'm around home isn't such a big deal. I mean, I definitely don't like them. I wouldn't even say I'm indifferent to them. I actively avoid them, but the benefits of, being in a beautiful place camping, I guess, outweigh how shitty the mosquitoes are.
Fucking tree huggers.
I
What do you think, Dave?
remember going on I went on fishing trips to Canada when I was like a teenager. And after we'd catch some fish, my dad would be filleting the fish on the shoreline, but like as the sun's going down, yeah, all those mosquitoes come out. And my dad, he brought a mosquito net thing, like a hat, and it was like a beekeeper suit, basically. And I was just like, what in the world? And then I'm like, that, like, I remember him showing it to me before the trip, and it, like, I was like, I don't understand, why would you need that, just wear bug spray. But it's like, no, it's like the mosquitoes are past the point of bug spray. Like, that
They're
will not
over
drink
it.
that shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and I hated, like, I really hated mosquitoes as a kid. I used to get bit all the time. My parents always said like I had like sweet blood or something like that. Loved it. My nickname was Skeeter because I would like my arms would just be covered in bug bites. Just all like in my neck, I'd be covered in bug bites, and nobody else would get bit by the mosquitoes. They would just, whatever about my pheromones or my smell or whatever, they were like attracted to me, and I would always get bit.
You got that big Dave energy. That mosquitoes just love.
I have
Oh, that
heard
sucks.
that they prefer meat eaters to vegetarians. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a
Oh.
fact I've heard.
I don't
And
doubt it.
that.
I have so much bug spray in my house, and like I have all kinds. I have like, the regular like deep woods off, and then I have like the dry spray that's not supposed to be greasy on your skin. Yeah,
You
and then
need
there's kids.
the jungle juice.
What is that?
It's like 97% DEET or something like that.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, there was like a little orange bottle and it was like the high potent stuff. Yeah. And it was, known to the state of California to give you
Yeah.
cancer.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Am I? See, I think there's not a lot of mosquito lovers out there outside of the winged beast, you know? And I'm sure they don't even like them. They're like, that's why we eat them. We hate them. Yeah. I don't
I
know.
agree. If there's they're like a link in the food chain that could just disappear, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Write your congressman.
Yeah, mosquitoes and then also ticks.
Ticks can
Yeah.
stay. Let's get the mosquitoes out first.
Oh, come on.
We'll talk about ticks.
No, we got to put them both on the same bill together.
God damn it. No red tape.
Yeah, but then Congress, they'll throw like rabbits on there too then for some
Yeah.
reason.
Right at the deadline, they'll just write that in the last paragraph.
Oh God. All right. Well, segue challenge. I feel the blood draining from this topic. I'm starting to itch. Let's move to John again, I think.
All right. I am indifferent to air travel. It being a person of average height and weight, like the seats are fine. Like I wouldn't say they're comfy or anything, but I don't dread like getting my knees banged up and stuff like taller people would. I had a 13-hour flight last year, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna watch like six movies. And then I did that and it was fine. I remember like when I first started flying for work after like never really flying as a kid, I think I did once. I was more nervous for like getting through TSA and stuff than I was for the actual flight. Now once I got that figured out, then like that doesn't even really bother me. It's just like, all right, get there on time and stand in line and all that stuff. I know people who are very afraid of it, and nothing you can tell them about statistics helps with that, but that stuff has never really bothered me at all.
You never had to deal with you see airports kind of getting power hungry or whatever and ordering people around. You didn't never had to deal with any of that?
No, I guess not.
No. How about other passengers who had to be, court was it Star? I'm a Star Marshal or a Sky Marshal. Star.
Actually, embarrassingly, one of my one of my coworkers I was on a flight with, and he like flipped out. Luckily, I wasn't sitting anywhere near him, but he like stood up and he's like, tell your fucking kid to stop kicking my seat to like some parent. So that was fun.
Oh my gosh. Dave, do you fly ever? What do you think?
I flew like last year. I've flown like three times, like once as a kid, once when I was like 20, and then I flew last year. And like I don't have a problem with it. I think like some of the stuff is really weird, like the things that people do that like make no sense to me. Like when you land, the plane lands, everybody just stands up from their seat. And I'm like, we have to like dock up like where we're offloading, and then they have to start letting people off. Like, why are we standing? Like, I've been sitting in my seat for 3 hours. I'm just gonna sit in my seat another 15 minutes until they let us go. But like everybody's standing up, they're getting their luggage and just standing there in the aisle, and it's just like, just sit in your seat, like. So there's like weird stuff like that. But I don't really have an issue with it just because I've never really had to do it. I think it's great. I've never had to go anywhere far, but like just the ability to know that like if I was ever to go to Europe or Japan or something, like that would be awesome to fly. And like I'm not claustrophobic. I think I'm really good at like just sitting and sitting still. Like it's like one of my attributes. I'm like, I can sit and pay attention really good. I'm like, I did it my entire childhood in class. I'm like, I can just sit really good and be all. So yeah, I mean, flying's fine. I think the worst part is just like the price of it. Like trying to get food at the airport, everything's crazy expensive. So you kind of have to like bring snacks in your carry-on. Like you can't bring like full-fledged food, but like, you know, granola bars, like some candy or something. Like you have to bring something to munch on.
What's that thing? Jet lag. You ever get that, John?
Yeah, like definitely traveling international, you need to like adjust when you get there for sure. I always try to like no matter what time I land, just stay up till bedtime without taking a nap, and then just hopefully it'll sort itself out. But yeah, it can be definitely hard to adjust the first couple days.
Second follow-up question. What is jet lag?
It's
I've never
basically
had it.
where you're like suddenly in a different time zone. So, you know, like at home, I'd be going to bed right now, but it's 4 in the afternoon where I am. So, like, I'm tired enough to go to bed, but bedtime's not for another, you know, 6 or 7 hours.
So could you get jet lag if you drive into another time zone?
Typically, you're not driving far enough in a day for it to all like add up at once.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I guess if you drove, you know, cross country in 2 or 3 days, your time would change like 3 hours, but wouldn't be as big of a deal.
All right. Yeah, I've flown two, maybe three times. And they were fine. I think it's the airports, like chaos at the airport. I do not like. And you are kind of, I don't know why, but you are kind of like scared when they're running the metal detector. I'm like, what if I do have something metal on
What if somebody
me?
planted something in your luggage? What's this?
Yeah. Or like they would be like, sir, we got to look at your luggage. And they're like, oh my God, he brushes with Crest or something. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, don't look at my stuff. It's always very weird. Yeah, and then I think I experienced turbulence. I was on a smaller plane, and I think that's why. I think smaller planes experience that more. I don't know.
I can see that, yeah.
I think we were warned about it and stuff, and when it did happen, it was pretty freaky. Yeah, and then you need a window seat, otherwise it's like I don't know. I kind of sort of get travel, whatever. I get motion sickness in the car if I'm, you know, sometimes it'll just happen. The airplane was okay, but I remember feeling my neck felt a little stiff or something. It's like kind of goes hand in hand with my motion sickness. So yeah, there was a bit of that.
Definitely had some turbulence, but nothing crazy. Actually, one time, I don't remember where it was, but I guess we were coming in kind of hot landing, and they actually touched down and then like picked up again and did like another lap because I think they were going too fast to stop properly or something like that. Like that was pretty crazy.
Shit.
That would scare the shit out of me.
Oh my
I did
God.
have one experience with like when I a bad ex like the worst part of my experience last time I flew is I went to Mexico to like a resort, and the flight to leave on the day we're leaving, the flight leaves at, you know, like 6 in the morning. So it's like, okay, you got to be to the airport like an hour and a half before is what they say. And I went down to the front desk of our resort and I was like, hey, we have a flight at this time. Do you guys do a shuttle to the airport? And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll do that. You know, well, they speak in Spanish, but there was someone who could speak English and they're like, yeah, see, yeah. And they just like, what time? What time is your flight? And they're like, okay. And they're like, well, you're going to leave at 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, okay, 4:30 in the morning. And we set it up like, you know, a couple days beforehand. The night before we're about to leave, we check in, we tell them again, and they're like, yep, we have it right here. Everything's good to go. Okay, we go to bed, we wake up, we're down in the lobby at 4:20, you know, 10 minutes before our driver's supposed to be there. And they're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I just, you know, someone's supposed to take us to the airport, some shuttle. And they're like, oh no. And they're all in a panic. And they're like trying to call someone over. And we had to wait like a half hour, 40 minutes before somebody came to pick us up. They bring us to the airport. And then the lady who checks our baggage, she's all upset. And she's like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be here 20 minutes ago. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like I tried to get here early. I'm like, I did my part, but you know, somebody else in the communication, you know, they didn't do their part, but she's all upset that I showed up late. Well, then, you know, she takes our baggage and she's all cranky as hell. And I go upstairs like to where the tarmac is. And then we just have to sit and wait there for an hour. And it was like, what was the hurry? Like, you guys still had an hour to put our bags on the plane. Like, we all just stood around and sat in chairs. Like, it was, I don't know. It's like some of the staff, they get upset over nothing. I don't know. We were the only flight taken off at that time too. It's not like they were busy.
Well, that's what I was getting at with like the power hungry thing where they're like, because there's only so many airports in this fucking world. You know what I mean? So it's like, what is it? I can't name a single one. Name an airport, name a air.
MSP.
Right. LAX. Either. Okay, there. But what's the Spirit Airlines, right?
Oh, the airline.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. That's what I
meant. Delta, American Airlines.
Yeah.
United.
Yeah, and it's just so weird. Like, you keep on hearing these stories of people getting like manhandled and they're like, sir, we told you to sit down and shit like that. And it's fucking Alec Baldwin, so you gotta take him down. okay. So Dave, I feel bad because in my first flight, when we landed and everyone stood up, I did as well. I thought it was the protocol. Yeah. I was just following orders. It was just people standing around. I'm like, I guess this is what we do. I you know, this was the culture, I figured.
I saw a TikTok on that. Yeah, I saw a TikTok on it. And they're like, why does everyone stand up? And like the number one liked comment is, I've been sitting for hours. I just want to stretch my legs. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't know about you guys, but I am an American through and through. I can sit on my ass for fucking way longer than a few hours. I can sit on my ass all day long.
Okay. No, I kind of agree with that. Like, I remember when I was visiting my sister, that was like a 3-hour drive, 5-hour drive, something like that. And yeah, I wouldn't be sitting the entire time. I'm just kind of standing, talk to her. She's like, please sit down. I'm like, no. Been driving this whole time. Yeah.
Another funny one I had was we were flying to Iceland and the flight attendant, like before we got on the plane, told us like, yeah, they're having a air traffic controller, like a strike or something. But they seem to be wrapping it up. So, you know, we'll fly over there and God willing, they'll let us land.
God willing.
Oh, yeah.
God. Oh, that's terrible.
What's their like alternate plan? They're like, well, there's no air traffic controller. So first we're going to do a flyby. Check and see if the runway's clear, and we'll circle around and come in for landing.
Like, what are they doing to strike? They turn the lights off at night before you like have no idea where it is. Holy shit.
I guess they would have diverted us to Greenland or something. Who knows?
Then you get there, you're like, this isn't green. Oh god. Segway challenge.
Let's take off the friendly blue skies of our next topic.
Take the emergency exit.
My ears are popping. Let's get out of here. I don't know who's up. Is it Dave?
I think it's me. Yeah. I'm indifferent to artificial scents like soaps and candles and air fresheners. I want to say I hate them because a lot of artificial scents, they give me headaches. from like what I've read online, like places like Bath and Body Works, where they like everything has a weird scent to it. Like those are all like artificial and they're not good for you. There's like studies that show like a lot of like harm to your endocrine system. So I don't like all the scents. They don't seem like they're good for you. But I like if I go to somebody's house, like a stranger's house, and I walk in and it like smells like apple cinnamon, and I'm like, oh, this house smells really nice. I like it. I like it. It's really nice. But if it's my house, like I don't notice the smell anymore because I'm around it so much, it doesn't mean anything. And so like I for me, like if something smells, I just like to get the big container of baking soda. And you can put baking soda on anything and it will absorb the smell and then you can vacuum it up. Like baking soda is incredible and it's I think natural and safer than like all these weird like Febreze, any kind of like the Glade like plugins in your wall or like the scented candles that are kind of like polluting the air in your house and you're just like breathing in all these chemicals. I don't know. I'm not about any of this scented stuff and I'm better off without it.
Do you have a plug-in right now? I mean, I always think of like, oh, it's not just you anymore, Dave. What's the old ball and chain gotta say?
Well, my wife loves scented candles. She loves scented everything.
Oh my
But
God.
I've slowly been working on this. All of the candles are in the cupboard and they're rarely ever used. Yeah, and we really don't use a whole lot. My wife does like the scented soaps for like hand soap. And like that's my compromise. Like I'll do the hand soap, but I don't want candles lit in the living room every day, and I don't want like Febreze sprayed everywhere. Like none of that. I'm like, I can deal with the scented hand soaps. And if I want, I can get my own hand soap and it's not a huge deal. But yeah, other than that.
I like it. Slowly separate her from the things that she loves.
Nurture and then nurture dependency after
yeah, that's right.
that.
What do you gotta say, John?
Yeah, we don't really have any of that stuff at our house either. In fact, we have like an air sensor. We got it because it's like a radon detector, and we had like radon issues in our basement. But one of the other things that it detects are VOCs, which I think is volatile organic compounds or something like that. But it's basically like the levels will like go up if you use like these artificial scent products. And I guess ostensibly they're supposed to be bad for you, or and like they say like, oh, you're in the orange level for those, or you're in the red for those, like you want to minimize them. So I'm sure they're known to the state of California to cause cancer at any
Oh,
rate.
shit. Yeah, Dave, you mentioned it hurts your enchiladitis. It hurts your some sort of system, right?
Your endocrine system, which
Okay.
is kind of like
Your
your lymph
enchilada.
nodes and
You gotta finish
yeah,
Okay, but what are those? That's your scent things or something to nose?
no, like your endocrine system like kind of regulates the hormones in your body.
Oh, okay.
So it can, your body has hormones for everything. Your body has hormones for, like your sexual organs, but then also like for your heart function and liver function and digestive system. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole like lymph system that kind of like, and if it's you disrupt your hormones in any way, it can give you different health effects. So it's like, it can affect literally like anything. So.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, well, let's get into cologne. Can that sort of count as something?
Kind of, yeah.
All right, well, I'll
I know,
say,
like, a
yeah.
lot of like deodorant and stuff like that is, supposed to be really bad for you that contain aluminum and
Oh,
different heavy
yeah.
metals. And you're putting it in your armpits, which is like, right, you have a lot of lymph nodes in your armpits.
That's right. But those Old Spice commercials are funny. Oh. Isn't it like from Tim and Eric or something like that? They make
Yeah,
those
they used to do a
commercials.
lot of them. I don't know if they still do.
Oh, but I wanted to say that yeah, I put on deodorant, but I do not wear cologne. One, you can become was it nose blind quickly, right? So I don't know how much is too much, you know, and so I never want to be like offensively smelling of something, even if it's good and expensive, you know. So I kind of was like, well, don't we naturally put out our own pheromones out there? So I want them to get the uncut shit, you know? Yeah. But as for deodorant, I think I go to Old Spice. Is that known to be pretty bad or no?
If it's like the antiperspirant that is like a white cakey deodorant, those are supposed to be bad for you.
Oh,
But if it's like
sheesh.
more clear, then it's more like alcohol based, and those are supposed to be better for you.
Oh, those are so wet. Those, yeah, those are so wet, weren't they? It was like, I feel like I'm sweating right now.
I actually make my own deodorant because I used to like Burt's Bees company used to make this stuff that I loved, and then they just quit making it and nobody makes anything like it. So I found, or my friend actually found like a copycat recipe online, and it's literally just like vodka and essential oils. And I just spray that, and that's my deodorant.
What if you get pulled over and be like, I smell alcohol in there? You're like, no, it's my armpits, I swear.
I think vodka is like the least smelly of the liquors.
Yeah, it's like
Oh,
supposed to be really neutral. Yeah.
right. But I kind of disagree. I remember I was at work and this woman was like, yeah, it's my last fucking day. I'm like, wow, you smell like vodka. Holy shit. I really wish I would have turned her in. Fuck that woman.
I have one regret, not turning her in. I like
when you were talking about the cologne, like we all have had that one coworker who wore way too much cologne, where it's like it had to have been like four or five sprays of cologne. And you just like when they come into work, like you wouldn't even have to see them. If they just walk into the building, you're like, oh, yep, they're here. You smell them. I hate that.
You
When I
guys
lived in
wear?
the
Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't. When I lived in the dorms in college, we did this thing a couple of times where you would take a thing of X body spray and then duct tape it like so it's like spraying and then like throw it in somebody's room and then like hold the door shut. That
That is a really
Holy
good prank. I love that.
shit.
I want to try that.
That's great. Dave, do you wear cologne?
I will occasionally.
What do you wear? Do you know it?
Who do you wear?
Yeah.
I'll go look. I'll be right back.
Who are you wearing? You know what? I did. Oh my God. Now I got to question whether this was bad or not. But a girl bought me some cologne and it was oh, what was it? Was it a cologne called like Nike Moves or something like that? Do you guys know that?
I don't know, but that sounds plausible.
It might have been from Nike. I don't know. But I wore that. That was about the only one because I was like, well, this girl, she bought it for me and it smells okay. So, but I think if I were to apply to it on me now, they'd be like, dude, you're way too old for that scent. That's what little boys wear, you know?
When I was
Yeah, I
first
was.
learning to shave, I would use like aftershave on occasion, but then I would shave so infrequently that it didn't, it never made sense to like buy a bottle of it.
Oh, that's
It's
right. That's the ah. That's
like fighting the beard was a losing battle. I was like, ah, the beard
the.
won.
Yeah.
I always thought it was weird that like Nike had a cologne because I had an Adidas cologne when I was like a teenager. But these are like shoe companies. Why are shoe companies making cologne? It doesn't make any sense.
Maybe it was Adidas Moves. Is that what you wore? Or what do you wear now? Let's see it. What do you got?
Show us what
I
you
have
got.
a Calvin Klein.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Calvin Klein. I don't know. I think my wife got it for me for like Christmas or something.
And she was like,
But
take
yeah,
the
I think it's one of those things. So we're going out, like if we go out somewhere like nice for dinner or something, I'll put it on, but it's not a daily occurrence. And yeah, I don't know how much to put on, so I kind of just like spray it like over there, and then I just wave my arms in it, and I'm like, good luck.
for
You paw it like a cat.
Yeah.
Damn it. I think it was Adidas Moves. I think that's what I wore in high school. It
Me
was like,
too, man.
yeah, it was like, did it look like, yeah, did it look like that little clear bottle, like a triangle though, or you know what
Yeah,
I'm
the
saying?
top was like a triangle, like
Yeah.
the Adidas logo.
Okay, so there has to be some protocol where it's like a 39-year-old man cannot wear something he wore when he was like 16, right? Is that the rule?
I don't know, you know. Well, I as a 39-year-old, you can't wear Axe body spray. Maybe with cologne, there's different rules.
All right, throwing out all the acts tonight. All
Yeah,
right, segue challenge. I smell a new topic, and I hope it doesn't hurt my enchilada system. It's a tie. Let's see here. Let's go with my love. I love sign language. I'm not fluent or anything, but I've had to use it over the years with my nonverbal clients. Sometimes they can't speak, sometimes they can't hear. So just, I was going to say American Sign Language, but sometimes that's not what they use. They kind of create their own thing and you just learn theirs. But that's cool. Just a great way that we're able to communicate with these people that cannot speak or hear. This was my friend Jordan and his wife, Jessie. They did something amazing. They fucking taught their baby sign language. So before she could even speak, she was communicating with them. I've never seen that before. And God willing, if if I could land this plane, I can have a kid and I will teach that person sign language. I think that's so cool.
Didn't
And
they do
then,
that in the movie Meet the Fockers? They taught the little baby
oh,
like
really?
how to do sign language. Yeah. And he would go like, I gotta poop. And
Now
like the little kid couldn't speak, but he would always sign stuff.
I'm gonna, okay. Well, that kind of takes it away. I thought Jordan came up with this amazing thing.
I think he stole it from a Ben Stiller movie.
No, I've definitely heard of other parents doing it. Like it's definitely a thing.
Oh, I wonder if you stole the whole putting cum in your own hair from Ben Stiller
No,
movie.
I know a lot of parents who do that too. I don't know.
Okay, so then the other thing is if you watch signers at concerts, that's always so enjoyable because they really put on a performance. Like they can, you can see it in their expressions and stuff. They match that. It's actually quite enjoyable. And then Native American tribes, there's a lot of tribes in the US. I believe registered, there's like 700 and something, 776. That's just registered tribes. And all those different languages and cultures and stuff, I believe sign language really kind of helped. Other tribes like, hey, what's up? There's basic native language signs or whatever. And then finally, Jet Jaguar, he communicated with Godzilla.
That's right. The most important use of sign language in our times.
What do you guys got to say about sign language?
I love it too. Like
No, use your hands. Oh my God.
I that'd be great for the audio only
Yeah.
listeners. My wife and I actually took classes just for fun. There was like like your community center will have like, how to knit, how to whatever. Like, and they had one on sign language, and we did like level one and level two. And I remember very little from it, but I I think it's awesome what people came up with for sign language. Like, just the mechanics of it are very interesting. So, like, let's say you're like talking about two different things, and you're talking about one thing on your right side, and you'll sign like what it is and all the adjectives or all describing it. And then you're talking about another thing, and you like position it somewhere else spatially, and you talk about that thing, and then everything applying to that happens over there. So you can keep like these two things separate visually. Like for convenience, like, well, if we're like in a crowded, loud place or something, you can just communicate like easily, like yes, you nod your hand up and down, or no, you pinch your fingers shut, like just like an easy way to get like simple things from across the room, or like, you know, I'm gonna go use the bathroom or
Yeah,
something
I
like
know that
that.
one.
Yeah.
Great. Dave, thank you for being on the show. Oh, that could be made up. I have no idea what
Don't
that
know. I feel like it's showing gratitude. Yeah, like sign language is awesome. Like, I don't like, I have like some patients that are either like deaf or hard of hearing. So like I have to like just do a lot of pointing, gesturing like that, and like, and I don't know how much they understand, but it seems like they understand enough. And like, I'll ask a question. I had a patient the other day. I had to sit him up for an X-ray, and then I asked him. I was like, "I'm gonna lay you back a little bit. Do you want me to lay you back?" And he just goes like this. And I was like, "A little bit, okay." So I, and his wife was like, "He means a little bit." And I'm like, "Okay, I know. I know what a little bit is."
I cracked the code on that one. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like I wasn't too tough,
What he was
but
really
yeah.
saying is, I'm this close to snapping at my wife.
And
Thank God you're here.
part of me was thinking, I'm like, it seems like a sitcom episode where like the husband just pretends to be deaf so he doesn't talk to his wife anymore. So like, I've been dealing with this nagging for 25 stinking years. Well, I totally agree with going to concerts. I've been to Rock Fest, and I sit in like a seat that's like to the right side of the stage, and like the hearing impaired lady is there doing all the signs for and it's incredible because I'm like, in my head I'm like, well, they're at a music concert, they can't hear the music because they're deaf, but they can feel the music, you know? And you literally can, like, if you close your eyes and you just feel the vibration in your feet, you can feel the music. And like the signs they're doing were like incredible, because there was a Limp Bizkit concert, and she's signing along to Limp Bizkit, and I'm just like, and she's into it, and she's like dancing as she's doing the signs for it, and I'm like, this is like an art form that I've never seen before. And I was totally blown away, and like, and I'm watching her, I'm not watching Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit's boring to me. I'm like, this lady's putting on a good performance.
I would love to see her sign, "I'm like a chainsaw, I'll skin your ass raw."
Well, that was a funny thing, is they only signed for certain songs. Certain songs
Oh.
they didn't. So it was like, they're like, eh, we don't want to sign for that. But you know, if he's going, keep rolling, 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 what? You know, then it's PG enough where they will sign for it.
Wonder if the deaf feel weird about that. They're like, "Hey, we're adults. We can handle that." Maybe it's up to the interpreter. I don't know. And just
Do you guys
imagine.
remember? Oh, this is a different, slightly different, so go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, imagine all the, that's a lot of research just to memorize people's lyrics and then put in that performance. Yeah, that's great.
Do you guys remember back, I think it was like at like Nelson Mandela's memorial or something, there was like the guy doing the fake sign language?
That's where it was. I knew
Yeah.
there was a fake guy. I had no idea it was at a funeral. Oh, that's terrible. Fuck. Oh, that's such a shitty thing to do. God damn it. Yeah. Oh, I think this. Oh shit, it's fucking visual. It's like coat where you kind of drag your thumbs over your chest while your index fingers point up in like a, I think that's coat or shirt or something like that. But I remember one of the clients, you'd always have to remind him, hey, put your fucking coat on.
I remember our sign language teacher telling us that a lot of the countries, the sign language is very similar. So you could be in a foreign country and, not know the language, but if you come across people who know sign language, you can communicate with them. So it's kind of like this secret, like international communication.
Gosh, that's cool. Although, don't the British like
Yeah,
fuck off? Is
yeah,
this right?
that seems right.
Something like
And
that.
they and like British Sign Language, I think, is kind of different from everywhere else
Of
in a way.
course, they are the superior
Like, because
fucking
I
British Empire. Anyway.
think American Sign Language is based on French. And like with British, I think even like a lot of the word, like in American Sign Language, all the letters you can do with one hand. But with British, you need to use like two hands, which just seems obnoxious if you're just trying to spell something.
Fucking Brits. All right, are we out of juice? Segway challenge.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. I think it's back to John.
Right. I, and this is somewhat timely, hate tax season. And like, I'm okay paying my taxes. You got to have roads and bridges and all that stuff. And obviously nobody agrees with everything that your taxes are used for. But what I'm more talking about is just the way that it's like such a mystery and like, you don't know how much to pay in ahead of time. You don't know if you're gonna have to pay in more when you're done or if you're gonna get money back. Like, just there's so many like factors that can go into it, and I just always like feel uneasy until like my taxes are filed, and then I pay in the money if I need to, or get a refund if that's the way it turns out. But just leading up to that, it just makes me very uneasy. So I just always like try to get them done as soon in the season as possible. And I'm like, refreshing my company websites. Like, okay, do you have the forms ready yet? Like, no. Okay, I have to wait for that before I can do it. Like, yeah. I don't know what it is, but just and like then throughout the year too, just like, I would actually be like very interested in like doing more like stock trading and stuff. But then I'm just like, oh, but if I buy that and then sell that, like that's gonna be complicated on my taxes. So it kind of makes me not want to do it in a way.
Okay, so I was this was procrastination rearing its ugly head. I was like, when's taxes due? Why did John bring this up? Oh,
You're welcome.
it's yesterday. I'm like, okay, it's the 15th. I know what I'll do. I'll ask for a extension. I've heard of that, right? But then it's like then I slept until like 7 p.m. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta file these. And then I'm like, I looked up on YouTube, like, how do you ask for like an extension? And then finally I'm like, well, no one's open, so I gotta go do it online. I've heard of that. And yeah, it annoyed me. It made it more stressful than it needed to be, but I went through TurboTax and I did it myself for the first time. Myself. And it was still fucking freaky. It's just like there was something on Facebook where they're like, Mommy, what's taxes? And he's like, well, son, say you have M&Ms and you got to give me some, but you got to figure out how much you need to give me. And if you get it wrong, you go to jail. And that's freaky. Like, what if I filed them wrong? You know, what if the next podcast is from a fucking cell? You know, it's freaky.
Yeah, that's another aspect I didn't even mention. Yeah, the anxiety that like, did I do it right?
Yeah, I hate doing it. I'm like you, John. I do them as quickly as possible. Like, I start collecting all of my forms, and I've had it where like I'll collect all of my forms. I think I have everything, and then I'm like, oh wait, I still need to get this form. So like somebody's got to send me this in the mail. But like nowadays, most things that I need are like all online, and so I can just access and get to it. And I can just fill it in like with everything that's just online. So I don't have to wait for stuff in the mail. So like I did mine, I think like February 8th or something this year, just very quickly. And I got 400 back for federal, and I owed 400 for state. So I was like, oh, even Steven. All right.
Yeah, that's about how mine went too.
Like, yeah, I prefer to, like, when I was younger and in college, I'd be like, oh, I got 2,000 back in my taxes. I was like, let's go to the bar and we'll party. And it was like my favorite thing, like getting my taxes back. But now I don't know. I don't get any returns anymore. It's just like I'm either even or I owe. One thing I really hate about tax season is using TurboTax or H&R Block. Like these companies make just, you know, millions of dollars, billions of dollars, and they like they're huge lobbyer. They lobby the government
Oh, yeah.
to make sure tax code is like incredibly difficult and there's no simplification because they can't let the normal people like us just do it on our own. They got to use their program so that way they can charge me $75 or $80 to use their stupid website. When I feel like I could probably just do the paperwork on my own, but at the same time, I'm afraid of screwing it up because if I screw it up, I don't want to get audited and like go through a hassle and they're going to be like, well, no, you actually, you know, you filed it and you said you get 2,000, but now we're coming back for it and we're going to fine you or
Oh
I
yeah,
don't
and
know.
then now they also don't they have like at the end they're like, do you want to pay us even more money for audit insurance? Like,
Oh yeah.
yeah.
And like you have to pay extra, like if you, like you said, if you buy like crypto or like cryptocurrency or different stocks, if you have like Coinbase or Robinhood, you have to pay extra for them to like file those forms for you.
Oh
Because
yeah.
I like in the year 2020, when like the pandemic was going on, one of the things I did was I got into cryptocurrency because, you know, spending a lot of time inside just reading stuff on the internet, and I was like hearing about Bitcoin and I'm like, oh man, this is pretty cool. So I got like Robinhood and I like put like a bunch of money into that, and then I made some money, so I sold it all, and then I'd made like thousands of dollars. I'm like, this is awesome. And then tax season came up and then I realized how I fucked up.
Oh,
Like I gotta
short-term
pay
capital
tax.
gains.
Yeah. And I realized that I'm like, oh, now I owe tons of money. And I'm like, oh, this is a bad idea. So like now I'm like, I don't really like if I wanted to do it long term, I would put money in for that. But I don't like I bought a lot of Bitcoin over the like the last year, and then the price tanked on Bitcoin a little bit. But then recently Bitcoin has gone up. And when I saw it going up, I like the genius I am, knowing my taxes, I'm like, the second I got to even, I sold it because I didn't want to make any money. I just like, get me out. I'll take it. I'll be even. And then it just kept going up. And I was like, you know what? It gives me the peace of mind of my taxes that I don't have any more income than what it is, because it might end up biting me in the butt, even though, you know, I probably could have made a couple hundred bucks, but whatever.
I'm starting to feel very uneasy because I did file it by myself, you know? But it's like, okay, so if they're like, oh, you get this back and you keep it, you don't spend it. And then they're like, hold on, sir, you filed this wrong. They're not going to be like, oh, just give us that money that we gave you. They're going to be like, audit and shit. Like
No,
serious.
I've had stuff where like I made a mistake before, and then you have to pay in, and then you have to pay like interest on that money. So basically, like oh, we could have been making money on that the whole time. So you owe us that plus some money. But yeah, it wasn't like, like criminal charges or anything crazy like that.
How do they? Okay, you hear about people going to prison for tax evasion and shit like that, but how do the IRS just like, hey, this motherfucker, owes money, send a cop? Like, how do they do
Yeah,
that? You know what I mean?
that's a good question.
I think people like us generally don't have to deal with stuff from the IRS that much because we don't really make enough money. But like, if you own your own business, that, makes you like a little bit more likely to get audited by the IRS. Because I think they have, nowadays they just have like a million computer algorithms, and they kind of, they look at what you've made in the past. And if all of a sudden there's something way different this year, then that'll kind of send like a red flag to their system and somebody might look into it. But I think like a lot of like the like rich Hollywood people or singers, like I th their employers have to send in, information to the IRS with all these people, and how much money they paid them. So if that doesn't match up with like what you filed, that could give them a red flag and then they'll look into you and make sure. Do you guys remember, this is a little off topic, the TV show Survivor, the Richard Hatch, the guy who won the
Oh,
very first
yeah.
season, he won $1 million on the show, but then he ended up spending like almost a year in jail because apparently he didn't pay taxes on that $1 million. He just took the check and he never paid the taxes on it. And yeah, they came after him and he had to pay for it and he had to do jail time and it's crazy.
Jeez. Yeah, what do they say? Death and taxes or something like that?
They do say that. Yep.
Yeah,
The only sure things in life.
is that those? I don't know. I remember growing up and I'm like, Robin Hood said it was wrong.
Was
And then
right about everything else.
I got, I bought Revolver on vinyl and the very first song is Taxman by George Harrison. And I was listening to that because I just filed mine by myself, and I'm like, and they're like, the tax man's horrible and shit. I'm like, what? Yeah, there's so much anxiety. It is. Yeah, you feel like, oh my God, is it hot in here and shit like that. I don't know. I'm glad it's over, and yeah, if it's gonna happen again next year. That's so bizarre. Yeah.
I think you can rest easy because the IRS, they're a money-making organization, and it's not really worth their time or money to go after small fries like us. They'd rather go for the big fish.
I don't know, man. I love the small fries in the bag, the stragglers. I reach in there, I make sure to eat those. Okay, one thing though that I do hate associated with taxes where like, they're like, hey, you just won $1 million. I'm like, yeah, well, what's that after taxes? Every time someone has to mention something after tax, before or after taxes, I just hate it. It's just like, if they're like, hey, you won $125,000, someone has to say the whole taxes thing. And I don't know, it's a freaky thing. And I really am fucking frightened that I did it myself. But like, the guy on YouTube, he's like, it's user friendly, and to me it was just like, just file in what's in box 7 and put that in there. And I was like, all right, so let's
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, I used to do my own online with those apps too until like the company I worked for went public, and then I have weird like stock option stuff that was super confusing that I still don't understand.
Shit. All right, Segway challenge.
This topic's been filled out and copied in triplicates and is ready to send off.
Who's up?
Is
State?
it me?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I can go. I love the movie Crimson Tide. Crimson Tide is like one of my all-time like favorite movies, and it's just awesome. And like for the topic, I was thinking of saying I love submarine movies because I also
Oh,
love U571 or what, I don't remember the
down
name
Periscope. Let's
of
just name them all off.
it. A Hunt for Red October is amazing as well. I love that one. That one holds a special place in my heart. But Crimson Tide.
K-19 the Widowmaker.
Oh yeah, Harrison Ford. Yeah, there's so many good ones. And but like Crimson Tide is the best. Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington, two of the greatest actors ever to live. Directed by Tony Scott, who is the brother of
Travis
Michael
Scott.
Scott from The Office.
Oh, what's his name?
Travis Scott.
Ridley Scott, yeah, the guy from Alien. So yeah, Tony Scott's in other movies. He's done like Enemy of the State, Man of Fire, Days of Thunder, Top Gun. So like
Mean,
Tony,
Alien is kind of a submarine movie in a way.
that was
Oh, it's an
Tony? No,
outer
that's
space submarine.
wait, Alien. That was by Ridley, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about Tony, though.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, is that
So,
because they're brothers? Oh,
yeah.
okay.
It's Ridley's foray into submarine movies. But I love this movie because it's based somewhat on a true story of
Oh, really?
like the Cuban Missile Crisis. So what happens basically is there's some type of event. There's a Russian sub, and they think that their radio communications are cutting out, and they get like part of a transmission, and it says something about starting preparing for launch, but then it cuts off and it stops. So you have Gene Hackman, who is the head of the sub, he's the captain, and then you have the lieutenant, which is Denzel Washington. And Denzel is basically like kind of like learning from Gene Hackman, and he's going to take over his job because Gene Hackman, you know, is getting up there in age and ready to retire in the next couple of years.
And what
And
a
they're,
teacher he is.
oh my gosh.
and they're having a struggle because there's like, it says prepare for launch, and Gene Hackman, he's the old man who is war hungry. He is there to do what his job is to do, and that's to fucking kill the enemy, and that's the only thing he thinks about. Where Denzel is like, no, he's like, they never gave us the confirmation to launch. They just said prepare, but then it got so we have to wait until we regain communication, so we can't do anything. And it's just like this great, like, struggle of like two different thought processes, and there's like great dialogue between Denzel and Gene Hackman, where Gene, he knows his role and he knows why his superiors like him. And that's because he's there to just kill the enemy. Where Denzel, he's a lot more measured and thoughtful. And Denzel doesn't look at it as the USA versus Russia. He's like, it's us versus war. Like, Russia isn't our enemy. War is the enemy because this is the nuclear age. And in the nuclear age, war is bad for everyone, and we need to avoid it at all costs. So it's like the movie is just fantastic. Like their scenes, the fact that they're in a submarine, it just everything is up close and personal. There's lots of great dialogue because you don't have exterior shots. It's just one-on-one. You're either like on the control deck, or you're in your bunk, or you're down in the engine room. Those are like the three different places you can be. Like there's no like where anywhere to run, and there's so much good stuff in this movie. And because of that, like it's just the dialogue, the small setting, and then on top of it, the cherry on top that makes this movie the greatest thing ever is Hans Zimmer, the greatest like music composer for movies ever. I love Hans Zimmer, and like the score for this movie is incredible. Ah, there's so much to love.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'd never seen it before, so I watched it for preparation for this, and I definitely enjoyed it. My review of it was angry and scary versus calm and scary. Because Denzel had like this calm intensity to him where, just under the surface you could see the wheels moving. For some reason, like when what's his name? Gene Hackman was like prepping to like the guys went into his room and he was like saying like, "Hey, you go recruit these guys and meet up here and then we'll do this." Like for some reason that really made me think of that Western, the Quick and the Dead with Gene Hackman, where it's just like, "Oh man, this like shitty asshole is like gonna win here for a while," and like that's kind of what happened. And like Gene Hackman is just so good at just being this like boisterous, arrogant, like guy you'd love to hate. The but yeah, it was crazy watching all the mutinies back and forth, if you want to call them that. Like when the one guy was like, "Look at me, I'm the captain now."
My gosh.
My only point of criticism is there were a couple of scenes that really made me think of the Truman Show and the people like pretending to do like whatever technical job they're doing. Like he
Arbitrarily
start
turning knobs in the
exactly. Or like he's
background.
trying to like fix the radio and it's just like sparking on command. And yeah, like the guys with the wrenches and stuff. Like I did that did take me out of it a little bit, but like overall like I thought that was, everything was great.
I watched this movie for the first time. I just it was like a maybe an hour ago I stopped watching it, and I don't like submarine movies, I don't get claustrophobic in real life, but when I watch them, everything is, as you described, like real big close-ups and stuff. Sometimes you're like, I feel like I'm gonna bump my head, it's just everything's just so cramped and shit. And then I think of the smells because it's, maybe you could kind of filter the air, maybe, but no, you're left with these horrible smells. And you got Denzel Washington running through there. I'd be like, sir, can you not? We're gonna have to smell your stinky ass the whole fucking time, But again, though, the way he made this movie, Tony Scott, the submarine seemed huge. It felt like it had like a mall in it. Like they're
Yeah,
so.
I did kind of feel that way. Like when they're like sneaking around and like there's just like this whole area where there's nobody around and yeah.
Oh my God. Gene Hackman's fucking great. Denzel Washington can take a punch, apparently, just stand there and bleed. I'm like, God damn, this guy's fucking cool. Especially when that rotten ass Gandolfini is trying to touch him and he just slaps his fucking hand. I was like, that is so awesome. I wouldn't have done it because I probably would have got shot. I don't have the screen presence to pull that off. But okay, how do you guys feel though that at the end they're like, hey, you were right, the horse is from Spain, and they s smile and laugh and then they walk away? I'd be like, Denzel, he punched you in the face. He called you a son of a bitch in front of people. He mutinied, he pointed a gun at people that he convinced Viggo Mortensen to betray you. Like, this was horrible. And they're just like, hey, we were both right or wrong, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm like, no, I would have held something against Gene Hackman, or at least kick that little dog or something. I just felt like he should have done something. It was crazy.
He's a bigger man.
It's too
Yeah,
big.
he knows that he's right, and he's just like, you can be pissed off and angry all you want, but that's just because I'm right.
That was nuts. Oh, Steve Zahn, he was in there. He dies. He's the one who gets like the thing shoots out, and because they're filling up with water, and they're like, "You gotta close the hatch," and Steve Zahn's trying to fix it. He's in the background moving wrenches that do nothing.
That was one of my least favorite sequences. I felt like I was just like, oh, they're just like, it's got that 90s like action movie feel where you're like, oh yeah, this is the part in the movie where they have to like drum up a little bit of action to keep us on the edge of our seat, but like nothing's really too critical or crucial is happening. They had
Well,
to
is that?
prove that Denzel could make the tough decisions.
That's true. Okay, so since I avoid these movies, does that sequence happen a lot where they're like, close the hatch? They're like, but sir, there's lives down there. Like, I don't care. Yeah. Does that happen a lot in submarine movies?
I mean, a little bit in like different ways. In like Hunt for Red October, there's, there's a blip on the radar and they're like, oh, we got a torpedo incoming. Then, they're like, we drop this and we got to sink down to this level. And then once we're down at this depth, then we're gonna, go silent and then they'll pass over us and they won't know we're here. And then, trying to be stealthy and it's all like, they're playing all this orchestra music, dun, 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 and you're like, oh my gosh, what's happening?
All right. Well, I don't know. This was you're lucky with this one. I was like, oh, that's a good movie. But I don't know. I don't know if I'll check out any other ones. Maybe Red October, just because that director's cool. So yeah.
Red October is really good, but it's also like really weird and like hard to suspend your disbelief because it's about a Russian commander and they all speak Russian, and in the beginning of the movie, they're all showing all these people and they're all speaking Russian, but then like Hollywood magic, all of a sudden their Russian like warps into English and Sean Connery is just speaking in his Irish accent and
Scottish.
you're like Scottish, yeah, and then the rest of the movie's in English, but then you're like, wait, oh okay, I'm like if you're gonna do
Except
an
for
English,
then when they meet up again and then all of a sudden like the Russians are speaking Russian again, yeah.
yeah, it was like just do it all in English then, okay, like, or all in Russian, just pick one.
Oh,
I love the
yeah.
movie, but that one, it's got some weird parts that are just kind of corny and cheesy.
All right. Well, segue challenge.
Let's
Let's
dip out of this.
Bubble up five to the surface.
zero bubble. I heard that a lot. Zero
Yeah,
bubbles. Oh my gosh. Okay. Is it me or John? Who is it?
I'm done.
Okay. All right, well, I'm indifferent to sampling music. I know I did not like it when I was a kid. I was like, learn to play a fucking instrument or something. You know what I mean? But then later on, I'm like, whoa, this song that I loved growing up was a sample. You know, like I had no clue. I had no clue that Will Smith, all the great songs of his, like Men in Black, Wild Wild West, so many, Just the Two of Us, they're all fucking sampled from older songs. And so I'm like, can I really hate that? I'm not sure. I do kind of feel bad for some bands that, well, I guess that's not, that'd be getting ripped off, not necessarily sampling. I do like that. It seems musicians do get some sort of money if they're sampled, you know, connected to Tarantino, you know, that's John's thing. He's like, oh, well, what about Tarantino and like using people's shots? This is how I feel about it. Tarantino doesn't pay that director he ripped off. He doesn't pay the writer that he lifted that dialogue from, or the cinematographer that shot, you know what I mean? Tarantino, I
You're
don't.
saying ripped off, but I think it's pronounced homage.
Oh my gosh, I hate
That's
that.
what Tarantino would say.
Apparently, I love Stevie Wonder because I've heard a lot of songs, and apparently, they're all sampled from his stuff. So I gotta check out his stuff. And sometimes I think it's for the better. NWA's "Express Yourself," that you know, they use that bass line from the song "Express Yourself." But I think it's better. I think it's more energetic. I love the lyrics, and then Dr. Dre's performance is good. I really like that a lot, way more than that original. And then finally, I'll say, if you want to deep dive into sampling, one of the most heavily sampled or whatever, the album with the most samples is Paul's Boutique by the Beastie Boys. That was produced by the I think it's the Dust Brothers or one of the brothers. I think it's Dust. But they just did not ask. They just took all this music from the 70s and all these sick ass beats and just one little line, and they created something such a dense piece of work. It's really fascinating to listen to, even if you don't know the song, you're just like, that something about that rings familiar to me. So, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys feel about sampling music?
I don't mind it. Like it is always kind of fun when you've only heard something that is a sampled version. Then you like later hear like the original song that it came from. Like, oh wow, that's kind of cool. And you know, being on the older side now, it's funny when you see kids like they only know something new that is like comes from a song that's like from our generation or something. Isn't like Nine Inch Nails stuff like all samples but like sped up and reversed and like all kinds of weird processing done on it, I want to say. Or at least a big part of it is.
It's possible. Do you like in all their stuff? Because I liked Hesitation Marks and I don't remember hearing about samples in that one.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure if it's all their stuff or not, but I thought that was a big part of how we made stuff.
Oh shit. Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. No idea.
So there is a website. It's called whosampled.com. And like I've heard like there's some guy on TikTok. I don't know his name, but he's has a huge following. And he just like he'll play like a modern song. And then he'll play like a sample, like where it came from. And then, but then there's like another layer where like he'll go back even further and play like the first time you heard they sampled it from somebody else. So it's like a sample of a sample. And sometimes it goes back like four songs where it goes, you know, from nowadays, from 2020s to, you know, the 90s to the 70s to the 50s. And like you see like the evolution of this song. I remember like hearing that Led Zeppelin like ripped off a bunch of their music and it wasn't like all original. And because they were sampling stuff and they were taking, you know, like beats that they had heard and like riffs that they'd heard, and then they kind of made it their own. And like I was really appalled by it at the time because I was like 19 or 20 and I didn't know that any musicians ever did that. But like nowadays, I've heard it happen like where so many different bands do it that it's kind of just a thing and it's just accepted and I've accepted it. One, like I heard about Dr. Dre and his sampling, and he is notorious for like almost all of Dr. Dre's like popular music is all samples of stuff. And on like on this website, there's like a list of stuff like songs he does. Where Dr. Dre is like for My Name Is by Eminem, that samples like two different songs from the 70s. Nothing But a G Thing by Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, that samples like three different songs. Next Episode by Dr. Dre, it's a song by David McCollum in 1967. Like, What's the Difference? That's, you know, from 1966. Like, a lot of his songs are all sampled beats. And then he takes them and, you know, uses, you know, Dr. Dre has a very like unique, like hip hop sound to it. And he just takes everything and makes it his own. He puts his own spin on it. So, you know, once you like make it your own and you make it different, it's more acceptable.
I do want them, you know, like how they're how what's his name, DJ Khali, how he has to say his own fucking name in every one of his songs.
Another one.
Yes. And God, who else? Jason Derulo or whatever, he always says his fucking name at the very beginning. It's like, we know. Imagine listening to his fucking album where it's like every song starts with him saying his name. My point is that he should be like, okay, this next beat is from this song, educate the listeners, Like it is, it does bother me sometimes. Like you said, John, a song will come out and I'm like, wait a minute, that's this riff from this song from my youth. But then some snot nose would be like, oh, this shit's tight, yo. It's got rizz.
Tight and it's taut.
It's pretty tight. Oh my gosh. So I don't know. Yeah. I think it's fine. I would, you know what? I would love to be able to sample myself.
Sure.
It seems fun, right? Like, could you imagine taking something like an Oasis song and taking like a guitar thing and making something out of it? I mean, I think there's artistry to that. I know it's kind of shaky artistry, but I think you could count that as some sort of talent if you can take something and hear something where it could be rearranged. I think that's pretty interesting. I think everyone should try sampling themselves before they go ahead and diss your rapper, because you don't diss a rapper though. I believe
Yeah,
they shoot themselves, shoot each
don't
other.
diss that rapper.
Yeah.
Be nice to that rapper.
All right. Well, I believe that's the show. That's the end of the sample. Like, subscribe, comment. Make sure to go to a few goldilockbears.com and like, subscribe, comment. This was Vincent Cloud
This was John Emmett.
and David Lauer.